Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This is Saturday Magazine.
Yes, it is Saturday Magazine with Macca and Nevena. Our Macca, final interview.
This show has just flown past me, and we're really excited now to welcome the National Secretary and ACT Branch Secretary of the CFMEU to Saturday Magazine, Zach Smith. Welcome to the show.
Nevena, Zach's still not on the phone just yet. James is still working on that.
We're still working on it.
We should get Zach in just a moment. I think we had a typo on the phone number, so we're just working to try and get hold of Zach, and hopefully he'll be with us very soon.
Excellent.
So what? It's 50 years of
pink bands.
A lot of people might remember green bands.
Yeah.
From in Sydney, Jack Mundy.
Yep.
Decades and decades ago, but they're also pink bands.
And the pink bands actually preceded the green bands, yes. Macca. So that's what we'll be talking with Zach shortly. But a bit of history around this. It started in Sydney, and now we're celebrating this 50th anniversary where the Builders Labourers Federation went on strike. And so the Builders Labourers Federation preceded the CFMEU before they merged. So it's a really interesting part of our history, and it's many people don't know about it.
But you know where it started? It actually, the Builders Labourers Federation, and a lot of our listeners who have a couple of years under their belt will remember the Builders Labourers Federation and Norm Gallagher in Victoria, well known for that, but also for having a beach house that someone else paid for. But a gay student was expelled from Macquarie University due to his sexuality. And the Builders Labourers Federation encouraged their members to walk off construction sites across the campus in support of the action. Now, I think that's, think about this.
Just recap that one more time, because that's quite a powerful statement, Macca.
Yeah, so that a gay student at Macquarie University was expelled due to his sexuality.
That's crazy.
And the Builders Labourers Federation encourages members to walk off construction sites across the Macquarie University campus in support of the action. Now, following this, the university offered the student his place back, but he refused. This way, he could challenge the precedent of expelling and barring students from institutions on the basis of their sexuality. This was ahead of its time, and it shows just how widespread and embedded homophobia was then, and dare I say it, still is now.
And I think that this is really important, because what also was evident back then was maybe not all of the BLF supported our community, but it was the solidarity that enabled this action to happen. And it showed that even if you don't agree with someone, there is still so much value in standing by them.
That's an interesting thing to say. I think some politicians could do that. But you can read into that if you wish.
Let's not go back down the politician route. We were moving on today, Macca.
Yeah. So
we're struggling to get hold of Zach, I'm afraid.
Perhaps they're at a demonstration.
but the one thing I find interesting about that story, though, is what an unusual ally at that time.
Yeah.
Because very male-dominated industry, quite a masculine industry.
More importantly, very heterosexual.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that was my point.
Gay men can be masculine.
Yeah.
Like us.
And also close to home. So it wasn't just the fact, it was the union working on the campus.
Yes.
So there was a very immediate reaction to the action. And I think, you know, that those two things are quite unusual to happen. A very heterosexual, masculine industry, as it was back then.
That you wouldn't assume was, you know, was necessarily friendly to our community.
Mm.
But it actually goes beyond that. It's actually about respecting diversity, but wanting people to be treated equally.
Mm.
Yeah.
And there's another point when I was reading this story that I found really interesting is that, you know, the student who was expelled easily could have just gone back and said, this is all too hard. What I've been through is incredibly traumatizing. And especially all those years ago, there wasn't a rainbow door. There wasn't community and support in the same way that we see and have it now. But instead, took on an enormous institution to make sure that no student would suffer again on the basis of their sexuality. And if we extend that now on the basis of their sexuality and gender, that's a really powerful point to me, Macca.
And a little bit of...
And 50 years ago.
50 years ago.
That's the surprising thing, Nev. Yeah. You're right, is that, you know, taking on a big organisation now with the access to lawyers that we have and the people who are prepared to stand up for our community, it's still difficult. Even though it's doable, but 50 years ago is stunning.
Let's just touch on a little bit more detail around this. So it was June 1973. Gay activist and Macquarie University student Jeremy Fisher was sexually assaulted on a date. After attempting to take his own life, and with the nature of his activism and sexuality become apparent to the dean of the college, he was refused re-entry until he was able to repress himself. So not only had he been sexually assaulted, the dean of the college said, oh, you can come back to the university, but you can only come back through the closet door.
Isn't that disgusting?
Yeah.
But also an institution, again, that's meant to protect young and vulnerable people, turning their back on a student that, you know, clearly needed help as opposed to being shunned.
And interestingly, the college at Macquarie University was called the Robert Menzies College. And the dean of that college, Alan Cole, he didn't buckle easy. The mounting pressure eventually saw Robert Menzies College give in to demands from both the unions and student activist groups offering back his place. Fisher refused the spot offered to him. Instead, he went on to challenge the precedent of expelling and barring students from institutions due to their sexuality. I mean, this is 50 years ago.
Well, Macca and Nev, I can tell you we've got Zach online.
Oh, cool.
Zach, good morning. Welcome to Saturday Magazine.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
Hey, Zach, so many people weren't aware of this. You know, I was alive in 1973, but, and yes. However, 50 years ago, for your union to do this, this is quite extraordinary. Because we've given some background to our listeners over what the pink bands were.
Look, like yourself, it was a part of my union's history that I only discovered in detail recently. So, you know, even people like myself, and I've been an official of our union for over 16 years now, weren't aware of the solidarity and the struggle that was shown by builders, labourers in the early 70s. And like you say, it wouldn't have been the most socially popular cause or struggle to have waged at the time, especially amongst blue-collar working people. And there's, you know, a point there where Jack Mundy even says when he's talking to the media, not every one of his members was, you know, a raging conservationist or an avid supporter of the women's liberation movement or a gay rights movement. But what it was about was bringing together people of various backgrounds and various campaigns to join together the common cause of ending discrimination wherever it was occurring. And I suppose, you know, there's a backdrop at this time where students and unions are also coming together around things like the Vietnam War protests and other social fights like that as well.
And so, Zach, finding out about this after 16 years, what's your reflection on learning that your union has such a strong history of social justice and solidarity?
Well, it's pride. I'm proud of the history of our union, the history of construction workers. People are familiar with the Green Bands, I think, in the main, especially Sydney people in Sydney. You know, they're aware of the fight the construction workers had to save low-income housing and sites of natural heritage around the rocks. And, you know, in a similar vein, this is something that I think, you know, shows that our union's always had that social conscience and always been prepared to stand up and fight for what's right, not just in the workplace, but in society, in the community more broadly.
Some people might look at the CFMEU and think, oh, it's very masculine. They might not be able to connect it, especially if they don't know the history of things like the Pink Ban. But are there any active campaigns or any other support that the CFMEU has for queer members of your union?
Look, we've always taken up the fight against discrimination in the workplace and in society more broadly. At the moment, the union plays a very active role on construction sites, for instance, in making it a more welcoming place, not just for queer people, but also for women. We still have a cultural issue in our industry where the construction industry hasn't been the most welcoming of places for people from diverse and different backgrounds. And so the union's taking real leadership in that space as well. But you're quite right. This is a sort of chapter of history which unfortunately hasn't been spoken about enough. And it's really, you know, we're saying it's the 50-year anniversary this year, but that's not that long ago that, you know, people were facing that sort of discrimination.
It's so nice to, you know, when I go back in my memory, I do sort of have a very, very faint memory of this. I definitely remember the Green Bands. And I think it's great that, you know, the union is talking about this because, you know, it talks about, you know, people will say, oh, yes, well, you know, people get very, you know, involved in things now. And this is a recent thing. It's not. This is 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, you might consider it's
criminalized, it's
popular now.
Yeah.
But this was 50 years ago. So, you know, I think that's a really, really important thing for the union to talk about that, and I think it's a great story.
Yeah, and that's you're quite right, and that's one of the decisions we've made. But one of the reasons we made the decision to publicise this story, and we've, you know, tried to bring light to it in this the 50-year anniversary, because it's not that long ago that someone, Jeremy Fisher, was deprived access to education based on just who he was for no other reason, and members of our queer community still face discrimination to this day, and so it is relevant now as it was then, and you know, I think it's an important story to tell, and it is for a lot of people within their lifetime that this happened.
Look, we're out of time, unfortunately, but I want to thank you for chatting to us today, Zach, and from the CFMEU, and you know, for, you know, talking about, you know, the Pink Bands. Good stuff.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. You are on Saturday Magazine Joy 94.9. Now, for our listeners who listened for word, and why you wouldn't, I don't know. You should. It's an encore edition. Lisa chats with Dr. Eve Rees. It's a really, really good session of word for word. You are on Saturday Magazine with Macca and Nevena. I think we're about to close. What do you reckon, Paul?
I think we should say thank you to our guest, Macca.
Oh, yeah.
We've had a great show, Macca.
And lots of messages.
And lots of messages. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sending your comments and questions through. From the top, we had Declan Brennan, freelance journalist, speaking with great care and really respect and understanding on the public inquiry into historical sexual abuse in Victorian schools. We had the wonderful Viv Mimich. Michich, my goodness, I can't even say my own cultural background, talking to us about the RMIT Journalist Course. We then spoke with Opposition Member for Equality, James Newbury. We had the Equality Minister, Harriet Shing, on the line, Kat Fay, Give Out Board Member and Managing Partner at Perpetual, Jessica Forrest at NAB, Manager of Sustainability. And lastly, you just heard from Zach Smith from the CFMEU. Thank you for listening to Saturday Magazine, and thank you for supporting Joy Independent Media.
We will be here next week, for which is actually the 11th of November. Hope to hear you here. Sorry, hope that you're listening to us next Saturday. Cheers.
This is Saturday Magazine.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.